here on air. We have Tricia Purdon from the Montgomery County Action Council. And good morning, Tricia. How are you doing today?
Good morning. I'm good.
It's good to see you in here today. And I hope you are being safe out there. And let's go ahead and get started. Lots of things to go over. And the first thing we're going to go over today is the Montgomery County Action Council, the MAC annual report.
Yeah. So at the end of each year, we try to wrap up and see what successes we had, what things went on in Montgomery County in far as the economy. This year certainly was a unique one. We started out the year with two huge announcements. You know, we have the new Array Technologies out at the Amazon building. That created 45 new jobs. And a majority of our projects really, but even though we had 45 new jobs there, majority of our projects came from small business development. So the big thing we had this year, we had 120. I'm reading my numbers wrong. 120 new jobs created in Montgomery County. So 45 of those come from Array Technologies and Phoenix Logistics, mm-hmm. that does the logistics out there. But the rest of those really came from small business. You know, we had Dickie's Barbecue that opened up in March. That was about 33 jobs there. And we helped them with some of their financing and things. Just a lot of little small businesses that opened up all over the county, and which is surprising because of everything that obviously went on in 2020. Right. But we were busy. We had 14 proposals we responded to for prospects that were interested in coming to Montgomery County. So at least one a month. But I will say that there were some months we had three or four in one month. It was kind of crazy there. August is always a busy month for us. That always hits us in August, it seems like. And we had a lot in March and April, even during the start of COVID, which is kind of crazy. But we had a couple really unique ones that we're hoping that we can really shoot for in the future. PPE manufacturers, of course, are starting to look at, let's bring our PPE from Korea and places like that that are currently manufacturing those and bring them into the United States so they can get that United States designation so they can sell more products, because it's not gone yet, right?
Right.
So things like that have been really fascinating. We also saw success with US 169. They're the projects for just north of Montgomery County. There's going to get some new passing lanes there. And 400 is also going to get some passing lanes. So that was some success we saw in 2020 on the highway projects we worked on. But what we're really starting to see is more and more growth with small business development. We saw more businesses open in 2020 that we assisted than we ever thought was going to be possible given everything that was going on. And so we're pretty excited about the successes we saw. One of the other things that we saw happen in Montgomery County was six expansion and retention projects. And so we kind of merged those because we want to keep them confidential. But we had several expansions in 2020. We had two of those were retention projects that, hey, we're not sure if we're going to be able to continue to stay open. And we helped them get through some of those challenges that 2020 really presented to them.
Yeah.
But I will say that this year's already started off with a bang. I've already got two expansion projects for 2021 on the books that we're working on. So that's exciting. And then we got two new retail food recruitments that were satisfactory. So we talked about Dickie's, so that was one of them. And then we have the other one that's still in progress. They haven't finished and signed the dotted line on the building yet, but we're really close on that one, I'm hoping. So, and then some of the other stuff, you know, the big task that MAC undertook was that we administered the county Spark funds. That was about $6.5 million that the county received. And so we helped distribute all of that along with Yerkes and Michelle, who did all the financial and accounting of that to make sure that when the IRS audits us, and they will, that everything is adequate and we've met all those requirements. And so we were pretty excited that we, if you followed along in December, we announced at the Montgomery County Commission meeting that we had spent all of the funds. There's a couple organizations that still had purchase orders, but those were adequate to show that those had been purchased. They just haven't arrived due to COVID shipping delays that are happening everywhere. But we were really excited to see that Montgomery County really went above and beyond. They spent their money, they got their programs in place, and we're seeing some amazing success from that.
And that's what I was about to ask. I mean, some great success stories from the Spark. I mean, it's, and like I said, it's, all of it's gotten spent for the most, well, I say for the most part, but again, like you said, they've been purchased. It's just obviously it hasn't come in because everything, you know, kind of slows down due to COVID. But it just sounds like there's a lot of success stories out there for it, because I know a lot of businesses needed it, and it seems like it's really helped out for a lot of those businesses.
It has. And we've seen some success with unique projects that have been on the wish list for our communities for a very long time that we knew we needed in our community in order to really help small businesses grow, but help our citizens continue to thrive in their small towns. So one big success story is the Caney Grocery Store. Everyone, if you've talked to Fred Gress or anyone in Caney for the past, I think, 10 years, they've been trying to get a grocery store in that town, because Caney is definitely a food desert.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when COVID came along, it made it so obvious that that was a huge issue for the community. If you're an elderly person and you're 80 years old, you don't want to get in your car and drive 20 minutes to a more populated area to go grocery shopping and then come back and bring that back to Caney. So that was such a huge issue that we were able to help get funded. They received $200,000 out of the Spark grant funds to get that going. And I got a report back from Danny Scott, which is part of the Caney Betterment Group, last night, that said that all the shelves are in place. We're almost ready. They've got someone, I think, close to be hired to run that store now. And I think they're going to be having a grand opening here pretty quick. So
that's great to hear, because like I said, it's kind of been a food desert. They have a few places there where you can pick up a few things, but again, yeah, not a full service grocery store, where, again, I mean, Caney's a pretty decently populated
it
area
is.
For it to not have a grocery store is it's hard to believe. I mean, the same, and now it's not Montgomery County, but the same thing almost happened in Erie, where they had that market there, mm-hmm, that the people who owned it there were going to retire. They finally, the city went ahead and just bought it.
Yeah.
And now they have somebody operating it, because otherwise they were going to become a food desert as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't think about that, especially like, say, you know, somebody who's lived in a large area, say like myself, you don't ever think about that, because
right,
there's grocery stores all over the place. But then you get to a small town, if they don't have a grocery store, that's not a good thing.
Right. And it really affects our healthy living scores. So Montgomery County dropped several points this year. We're the second unhealthiest county in the state of Kansas right now. And a lot of that is because we have a food desert, mm-hmm, in Montgomery County, that people don't have access to healthy foods. And that really became apparent during the pandemic.
Yeah.
The other really cool thing that's happening, and probably no one's even noticed that it's happened yet because they're still in the process of finalizing it, but Coffeyville laid the backbone through the whole city now for fiber. So
nice.
They used their funding to get fiber to the home. I know they're working tirelessly to try to finish that. So they've got the backbone laid. And basically what that means is there's wire throughout all of Coffeyville. I think they ran it on the city-owned utility poles, an amazing asset that Coffeyville has there with our electric utility. And we're able to get that backbone built. And now they were able to purchase the equipment now that now they can run that fiber to each and every home. And so I imagine probably 2021, we're going to see some exciting stuff come from the city of Coffeyville with that. And I can't wait to see the success, because I know they started working on this project like 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's been 8 years development trying to get this thing rolled out. So Coffeyville is definitely going to have an edge. I'm excited because we can say, hey, all those that are on the East Coast and those places that are seeing those high numbers, come move to Coffeyville. You can get fiber for your business. You can work from home. You can work remotely and enjoy the amazing quality of life our small towns
have.
And
I'll tell you what, I've been able to use, like, not here yet, but I've been able to use fiber as opposed to even just high speed internet, and it is just a world of difference.
It's a game changer.
Because when you, it's like when you click on something, everything automatically loads that,
yeah,
quick. You don't have to sit there wait. Well, it just boom.
Yep.
And I'm just like, whoa, are you serious? This is incredible. You know. So.
Yeah. Well, and especially if you're trying to recruit engineers, so a lot of engineers can do their work remotely,
mm-hmm,
right? You know, we saw that happen with John Deere this year. My husband is an engineer, and he had to run AutoCAD. And even we're in the center of town, we have great internet with Cox, but his AutoCAD, to send those files over the internet, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it takes a while or it just won't go. And that fiber will definitely be a game changer. Yeah. It just speeds everything up really quickly. And that's definitely going to be a great thing for Coffeyville.
Yeah.
Also, a few other things you wanted to talk about. One, there's a new grant going out there. We were talking about movie theaters earlier.
Yeah.
And that there is actually a new grant going out for theaters because obviously one of the businesses suffering during the pandemic, not just here but everywhere, are movie theaters because new movies are not getting released that often because obviously the film companies couldn't make movies. Because COVID,
COVID is everywhere.
Yeah, COVID ruins everything. But again, this is going to be kind of a grant going out to theaters to help those businesses out. Correct?
Yeah, it's called the Shuttered Venue Grant, and I think it's supposed to maybe be rolled out this week. We got word on Friday from the SBA; they're going to be administering that program. That program is going to go out to support those live venues. So your concert venues, anywhere you had live entertainment, performers, theaters, plays, anything like that that was open prior to COVID. So unfortunately, our amazing Midland Theater, I don't think would be eligible. But things like the Inge Festival or our amazing movie theater up there in Independence, those are all eligible entities that can get some of this funding. And we're lucky in Kansas because Kansas had something similar that they rolled out during Spark. And I know the Independence Movie Theater was able to get some of that funding so they can keep their doors open. So this will be the second round of funding for some of those folks. But I don't know anyone that's gotten hit harder than those. They're still not open.
Right.
They're still not open. And I don't know if anyone out there is a business owner, but if someone told you your business had to be shut down in March, and not only could you just not open because of safety protocols, but there's literally no more product for you to even sell anymore. What do you do? I mean, options?
Yeah, there's no new movies coming out. I mean,
right.
I know there's some theaters they'll bring back older movies and they'll price them really inexpensively because let's be honest, and this is the way with most theaters, they don't get a lot of the money cut from the theater. They get their money from concessions.
Yes.
Because obviously the production companies take most of the money. So they can easily put those at like $5. But again, people want to see new movies as well. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like me. I'm a movie junkie. It's like I think I used to go almost like 3-4 times a month.
Yeah.
That's how much I love going to the theater. It's just the experience. And I tell you what, like you said, the one in Indy, incredible. You can put your feet up and just recline back. It's very relaxing. Hopefully we'll see if they apply for this grant. But hopefully we can start getting some new movies in theaters and open those theaters back up because I definitely want to get out there again.
I know. I miss it. I miss it desperately. My husband and I are big live music fans, and we go at least once a month. It seems like go find a live music venue, and we're missing it. I don't know what to talk to my husband about anymore. We don't have any music to talk about.
Let's talk about old music.
Yeah, exactly. Remember that concert we went to in March
back in the day
before COVID? Yeah. So we're really excited about that grant program. And then there's two other grants that came out with the December bill when they passed. Of course, most of you are probably familiar with EIDL, the Emergency Injury Disaster Loan Program. So this one's kind of tricky. What came out when that bill happened was that they decided that all of those small businesses that applied for EIDL back in summer of 2020, spring 2020, they changed the rules midstream in that process. So when it first came out, they said, everyone's eligible. You apply for the 6-month, 30-year term loan. And in turn, you automatically are granted a $10,000 grant, a loan advance, completely automatically forgiven, just automatically as a grant if you applied for that loan. You could always decline that loan if you said you didn't want loans, but you would get that grant anyway. Well, about 3 weeks into that, they were like, oh, wait, hold up. We're going to run out of money. And they changed the rules so that if a small business, it was based on their number of employees. So if suddenly they applied for this giant loan, and then they came back and said, oh, well, you only have one employee, you're a sole proprietor, you only get $1,000. Well, then they had all these rules that said you couldn't double dip. So if you got $1,000 from EIDL, you were completely ineligible for other grants that county rolled out, like the CDBG, which was $2,000 a person. And if someone had $2,000, but it had an extra $1,000, but they had no idea that was even going to happen when that program, when they changed the rules mid-process. So it was so frustrating. We still have $4,000 left at the county, for example, because of that exact issue, because people are not allowed to double dip. So what the state or what the federal government decided to do was they're going to go back, and they haven't started rolling this out yet. So watch your bank accounts, because it's probably just going to automatically happen. If you got an EIDL loan advance and you got even $1,000, they're going to be covering that difference. And it's going to happen automatically for all those businesses, and you'll get that $10,000. The only caveat is they're going to contact you first. They're going to send you an email. So watch your email from SBA. And it's going to ask you, did you see I think it's a 30% reduction in revenues in 2020 and compared that to a quarter previous to COVID-19. So there's some of those businesses that opened up in November of 2020. Indie Brew Works, for example, let's use them. They opened up in November of 2020. They would show financials from November, December, January, a 3-month quarter. Here's what our revenues were, and compare that to what happened in 2020. So that's what they would end up doing in order to get that difference in grants. So we're really excited about that. But I know I've got, I don't know, probably 40 emails sitting in my email box of asking that question. Well, I haven't received anything yet. So it's not yet. I haven't heard anything yet from the SBA. We'll meet with them again this week to find out what that's going to start rolling out. But you'll get an email first, and they're going to verify your financials, and then you'll get the grant.
And hopefully those will start rolling out here pretty quickly.
Yes.
And one of the other things I want to talk about, you guys, Mac, you guys are hiring.
We are. So I talked about earlier, we saw so much growth with small business. And we used to have a small business and marketing specialist, and our amazing hospital stole her away. And she's their new foundation director there. And so we need to get that position replaced. We tried to do it in-house. 2020 happened, and we're like, well, I don't want to add anybody new. Let's just focus in and try to help those that are existing. And but now I can't keep up. We're starting to get more and more small business development. I had 4 last week. I have a meeting this afternoon with another one today. They're coming out of the woodwork. Everyone's ready to start growing.
It's a good problem to have, though. It is. Because that means businesses are starting up, yep, which is good for the county.
Exactly. It's great for the county. But that means I need some help. Cannot do this all on my own. And so we are going to be recruiting a small business and marketing specialist. So we're really looking for someone who can handhold our small businesses, to talk them through how to fill out their financial worksheets, you know, can really be an Excel guru. But really, it's, you know, walking someone through and just understanding the challenges that a small business is going to face. I'll train them, all that fun stuff. But that's what we're really looking for. So someone with some lending experience, maybe worked at a bank, so kind of understands some of the basics like that, would be a perfect fit for us. And we're a fun team. It's just the two of us. And our offices are up in Independence, but we're pretty flexible on some of that. So we're excited. But it's because we're seeing so much growth with small business, it's critically needed. And so we were lucky enough. We get funding to help cover this position from the Small Business Development Center. And so that covers that portion of our funds. So we're not having to increase our budget or cost taxpayer dollars, anything else. It comes from a subsidiary of Pitt State from their Small Business Development Center. But it makes a lot of sense for them. They don't have to drive an hour over from Pittsburgh to help our small businesses. And we were already doing it. So we'll be able to get some staff so that I can focus in on some of the other exciting stuff we have brewing for 2021. With site certification and our new virtual building that's on our website. I think it goes live this week. It was supposed to go live last month, but, you know, IT never works out perfectly.
It happens sometimes.
Yeah. So we have some really exciting stuff brewing, and I need to focus my attention on that so we can get someone to focus on small business.
Absolutely. So, no, a lot of great things going on up there and in the county. Like I said, lots of great businesses opening up. But if anybody does have any questions for you, or maybe if they want to talk, you know, have any more questions about maybe the job opportunity you guys are offering, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So our phone number is 620-331-3830. You call me. My name's Trisha Purden. Or you can go to our website, actioncouncil.com. And it's also posted on our Facebook page. with Montgomery County Action Council. We've got the job posting, I think, posted on Indeed, but it's also on our website as well. So, but if you're interested or you want some more information about some of the small grants we have available, like we still have $4,000 out there for someone that's outside in the county, but not inside of the city limits, except for Caney. If you're in Caney and you're a small business and you're open before March 1st, come talk to me. I've got free money for you.
There we go. All right. So, well, Tricia, thank you so much for coming in today. We really do appreciate it. And we will see you next month.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tricia Purton from the Montgomery County Action Council. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we'll restart Open Line. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.